that as a lifelong student of American history, I thought I had an expansive view of our past. Learning the real story of Jim Thorpe changed my worldview and opened my eyes to a history and perspective I was robbed of.
Thank you once again, both of you. I really do appreciate your time, and good luck in all of these ventures.
Thank you. It's our pleasure.
Thank you.
Past episodes of Times Like Now can be heard wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you to the letter J, Cody Robertson, for his original music. My name is Trevor Collins, and I can be reached, trevor@timeslikenow.com. I look forward to speaking with you next time.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the return of Portland Folk Music Society concerts with artists who tour nationally. The series continues this month on Saturday, April 16th, with guitarist Pat Donahue. Portland Folk Music Series has one show every month through June. The concerts will be at the Reedwood Friends Church on Southeast Steele Street in Portland. For information, go to kboo.fm and click on Community Events.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Rebecca Morse, curator in the Wallace Annenberg Photography Department at LACMA, the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. And Rebecca is the co-curator of Barbara Kruger, Thinking of You, I Mean Me, I Mean You. She's on now in Los Angeles and runs through July 17th, 2022. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus by Zoom, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me, Joseph.
I don't often do shows outside Portland, but when I do travel and I go to something I really like, I try and do an interview around it. So I was in Los Angeles over spring break, and I went to LACMA and saw the show. But it's a Barbara Kruger retrospective, but not in particular chronological order, I don't think. And I was just really impressed by the amount of space it took up, and also by the way Kruger has changed and updated her kind of medium and her style, I think, or her angles, while still being incredibly recognizable, the work. So just give us a little, you know, word about who Barbara Kruger is.
Yeah. Well, Barbara Kruger is an artist who works with text and image, and often using found images and also sometimes found text. And the work is bold, expressive, and it comes at the viewer and offers often dichotomies, good, bad, him, her. And I think it affords an open-ended opportunity to wrestle with ideas around power and feminism and sort of contemporary life.
Yeah. You know, I'm in my late 50s, so I first saw her work probably in a magazine in England, you know, and it was like, wow, there's this woman in New York City. She's doing cut-up expressions that are really go to the heart of, you know, the zeitgeist. So it was things like I shop, therefore I am, and things like that. And then I kind of, you know, she's always been in the background, but then when I saw this show, I realized she's been updating her stuff. What, she must be 70 now, and her stuff is very contemporary. So you walk into LACMA and you go into this room, and there's a huge piece, and it's people in t-shirts with their heads cut off, and they have the sort of red bar with the white writing, say things like they, range anxiety, cool story bro, edgelord, futura, dégagé or dégage, I can't adult. So all these slogans, what is Barbara Kruger doing here?
The piece you're talking about is called That's the Way We Do It, and it's from 2011, but she has reprised it for this presentation. And you're absolutely right in that she continues to mine her own work, thinking about her work as source material. While you said the show is sort of a retrospective, in a lot of ways it's kind of an anti-retrospective because it doesn't go through her work chronologically, but instead it shows the way in which she has replayed her own work. That piece that you're talking about includes, it's a wall piece, so it's completely surrounds the viewer with wallpaper, and it shows 550 images that Barbara Kruger has pulled off the internet in which other people have made work that looks like her own.
Oh.
And so, yeah, so she has really appropriated those pieces that other people have made, and I think what you're identifying is that the way she uses that bold Futura text, the font, and that red. And some of those two things seem to signify Barbara Kruger's work.
That's amazing. So these are all kind of Etsy photos or I made this, look what I did kind of things?
Yeah, throughout that whole room are just, and sometimes it's people who have made selfies in front of Barbara Kruger work, so they might be in there. They've also just rearranged text so that it looks like something that she might make. And so it is continuously nodding back to those pieces that we associate with the artist Barbara Kruger.
Mm-hmm.
Also in that room is a large LED, a video piece, which is based on, as you mentioned, her iconic I Shop, Therefore I Am. And this is another really important aspect of the exhibition, are these new video pieces that she's made based on her very early collage pieces. And they are monumental in scale. They run for about a minute. And this one in particular assembles pieces of a puzzle that once that comes together, it says, I shop, therefore I am. And then together with sound, that statement changes over five or six different times and then mm-hmm. dissolves.
There's a kind of a popping noise as each puzzle piece fits into place, correct?
Yes.
Can you remember some of the phrases that end up being, you know, changed out?
I shop, therefore I hoard. I need, therefore I shop. I love, therefore I need. I sex, therefore I am. I die, therefore I was.
Mm-hmm. So she's, in that case, she's just riffing on her own work. Is that right? Or somebody else?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
There is a big gray, black and white picture of a hand holding what looks like a credit card. You know, the card is a collage of Kruger-esque things, people's faces, pop cans, all sorts of graphic elements. Again, it looks like stuff you'd see in a magazine, that kind of studio photography. And then, the red banners with the white letters saying things like, it's a rough road that leads to the heights of greatness. And there's a guy there with like black eyes, a pretty girl's face reflected in a makeup mirror, and it says, adorn your prison. Are these new pieces or retrospective?
Those are appropriated texts. Like you say, together they're collaged into those larger hands. I mean, the viewer's opportunity to read through them and see how they all coalesce together.
Mm-hmm. I think this is part of the same collage. It says, I grew up and started making hipster photos with irrelevant background pictures and quotes. Aren't you proud? Is that her just mocking herself?
Well, those are all from that same room. And those are all works that she has pulled off the internet that other people have made. So those are mm-hmm. not her creations. Those are instances in which other people have riffed off her style and kind of her voice.
Yeah. Do you know what's her attitude to those who've riffed off what she does? Because, you know, do you know how she chooses what to include?
Her process is, the artwork is the choosing in part. She is very adept at collage, as you can tell, and bringing things together from mm-hmm. disparate places. I think it's up to each of us as a viewer to kind of determine what the meaning might be among all of those things.
together. Yeah. You know, it's her choice. If people are making fun of her, she can go along with it, or if the things she doesn't like, she can, you know, we'll never see them. Do you have any sense of what her thinking was as she chose these pieces?
I mean, I think if anything, there's an amusement that there is the possibility that somebody might be making work in her style. You might know the story of Supreme, the brand that in 1995 made a logo that looks very much like a Barbara Kruger work.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of came out like, oh, what's going to happen here? And, you know, nothing happened. Barbara doesn't own that look or that style. It is certainly open for other people to utilize. But in 2013, a clothing company called Married to the Mob actually made a piece using that same font, and it said Supreme on the hat and then another word. And Supreme actually decided to sue them for using what they felt was their logo. And so that created a very interesting dynamic. And Kruger said, this is exactly what I make work about.
So the kind of afterlife, like two parties fighting, was actually kind of her work in the end.
In the end.
So it was Supreme and then a naughty word.
Yes.
There is a piece. So I'm going to read this one out because that's what you do. You stand there in these rooms, these gigantic blocks of text. This one is all black. It's got to be 10, 15 feet wide. And it's black with this tall, white, uppercase words kind of stretched up a bit. And each one separated by a comma. Fatuous fools, bloated egos, lovers, singers, speakers, sycophants. Professors, posers, thinkers, feelers, doers, artists, air kissers, brutal schemers, kind souls, believers, doubters, creeps, comedians, divas, intellectuals, beauties, beasts, big shots, winners, losers, jerks, haters, players, acolytes, suicides, survivors. If that was a poem, I don't know that it would really pass the publication test. But as a piece of art, you know, the language is a different value. You can kind of get away with more in word art, I feel, than you can in writing. Do you know whether she sees this as poetry or as a type of writing?
Well, I think that piece is really profound in a show that is very image heavy, because I think what it does is it allows you to read those words and conjure up your own image of what they may be referring to. The piece that you're talking about is yes, quite large, and it is directly on the wall. And it is surrounded by other works that are also white text on black backgrounds that are large vinyl pieces that are stretched on canvas stretchers. One of them says, too big to fail. And the other one says, greedy schmuck. And I think together, they really talk about a very specific time during the financial meltdown. And I think as an installation, it really affords this powerful opportunity to ruminate on what we think that looks like and what those individuals might look like to us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's always had this, you know, kind of Wall Street is bad. You know, it's like the bad side of New York. The artists are the good side. The process of turning word art into giant rooms where you're just, you know, you're walking on giant words and they're everywhere and they're hard to read. Is that a new process for her?
Her most iconic work are these large room installations. There's one, say, at the Hirshhorn Museum that's been installed for many years. I think what is new is to see it in the context of other works in this exhibition, which I think has been very eye-opening for people who think, oh, I thought I knew what Barbara Kruger's work was like, and then I've seen all these other ways that she works, including video installations, a lot of sound, a curated exhibition within the exhibition.
Yeah, I was really surprised by how much video work there was. You know, it's like every room you go into is a different direction. And I just love that you had so much space to play with. How did the museum divvy up the space?
Yeah, well, LECMA and Barbara Kruger have a long history together. One of her first major West Coast exhibitions was at LACMA in 1985, when the museum had newly established our photography department, and she was part of a series called New American Photography, and we showed 10 text works by her at the time. And then in 2008, when that building on campus was built, the Broad Contemporary Art Museum, we commissioned her to make the elevator, and it's called Untitled Shafted, and it runs up the interior of the space. So when we were, the show is co-organized with the Art Institute of Chicago, and when we were thinking about where it would be on campus at LACMA, we knew exactly that it would be in the BCAM building, so that her elevator would be a major component of the exhibition. And we often do give off the entire floor to a single project, and we knew specifically we wanted to do that here because of these large rooms that we have in the Renzo Piano building and the high ceilings, and we hoped and believe it has been kind of a cavernous expanded experience for visitors.
I think one of my favorite pieces is this room. The words are gigantic. The listeners can imagine this: a black bar with white text running along the floor, and then the next line is a white bar with black. So that's alternating. These are huge all case words, and their perspective is great because, you know, they're receding into the room, and the words on the floor are, if you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face.
Well, that's a quote by George Orwell, and it is about fascism specifically. Interestingly, that is also in the elevator shaft. So it is part of that piece called Forever, what you're describing, which is a large room piece.
Yeah.
It is actually owned by another institution, the Amore Pacific in Korea. So we have, quote, borrowed it to install it here at LACMA. But it does do a great job then of referring back to something that already exists in the elevator. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it really talks about this interplay and replaying that she does within her own work.
You can't read that without thinking of the guy's knee on the neck of George Floyd. Does she kind of tweak things or bring out pieces as historical events change?
No, not particularly. And I just think it's a testament to how poignant her work is. This piece was made prior to that incident, and yet it does do an amazing job of referring to it.
And then, did you say this piece belongs in Korea, and they just like took it apart? I would assume you just print some new letters and stick them on the floor.
She works with the architecture of whatever space is afforded, so it's called borrowing the work because they do own it, but of course we reprint it and install it here. But she works out the dimensions for the particular space in which it goes, and that she has done here at LAC. That one is not up in Korea, but they could run simultaneously.
Okay.
But it is destroyed when it comes down here because we peel it off the wall. It's just vinyl adhered directly to the wall and to the floor.
That's what I love about this, is that some of the works are like LEDs sunk into the wall. They're beautifully high resolution. And you know that's going to end up somewhere else, right? You're not going to just turn the sign off and put it in a back room. But some of it, you're obviously going to like just scrape off and put it in the dumpster at the back of LACMA. Are there any rules about all this stuff, the physical object?
Well, you're right. There were a handful of loans, and those were objects, mostly the silk screen or the vinyl on large stretchers that came from other institutions and other lenders. And we brought them here and hung them on the wall. And so those are kind of traditional objects, like any, you know, painting or photograph, come in a crate and then go up on the wall. And then the wallpaper installation is done by a printer in town called Olson. And they print it, and then they come and install it. And so that is essentially ephemeral. And then the video installations are their own entity that are installed with equipment. But those also, you know, at the end of the show, they sort of turn off and they get put back in their case. And so, yeah, there are sort of three different kinds of works happening simultaneously in the show.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You are listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Rebecca Morse, curator in the Wallace Annenberg Photography Department at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. And Rebecca is co-curator of Barbara Kruger, Thinking of You, I Mean Me, I Mean You, which is on now through July 17th in Los Angeles. There are rooms of videos, and I don't know, I just love a room that's just taken up by one video and just has a bench. It's actually one of the nicest things to do in a museum is to just sit there in the dark and watch a giant video that you probably wouldn't watch on your phone, you know, because the mood is different. On your phone, you're always distracted, but in a room like this, there's a great kind of peacefulness, I find. Tell us about the one that just has a big green fan in it.
That one is called The Globe Shrinks, and that is a multi-channel video. And so you come out of the room that is a full vinyl installation, black and white, into this immersive video in which there's a bench that runs down the middle. So you sit down expecting maybe to see something on that facing wall. And then it kind of takes off and includes images and text on four of the walls. And what happens is you just kind of spin around trying to make sense of it. And it's very powerful because you are actually in motion as you're trying to see where the next image is going to land on the wall.
It's like watching tennis, you know, and you, there's not one ball. It's like there's two balls. There's this fan on a green background, but there's also boxes punching each other. I couldn't really figure out what was going on, but it was nice to sit down.
Well, there are two comedians as well who tell a story, and there's a driving scene. So I think the compilation of all those things together is what mm-hmm. then allows visitors to begin to make sense or put together their own narrative from these snippets.
Yeah, no, now I remember the driving was an angry man trying to, you know, overtake a woman on a windy LA, it's kind of hilly road, and he's ranting and being sexist. And I don't remember how it ended, though. There's a piece which is an excerpt of black on white text. And then as you stick around, all these notes start appearing in red with little lines pointing, you know, to what they refer. So they start to surround this piece of text. And you said it's called Art Forum?
Yes. When the editor of Art Forum was hired, Michelle Kuo, in 2016, she was interested in creating an issue about identity. And so she put out this piece of writing, and it starts with our brief and then begins this short discussion. And she sent it out to artists to respond to bring material together for an issue of Art Forum. Barbara Kruger was one of the people who received that, and she began to edit that text itself and sort of make comments on it throughout in her own words and her own writing. Mm-hmm. And that you see in red. And the video is happening almost in real time. You see a word being circled in the paragraph and then a line drawn off to the margin and a response coming down in red. Mm-hmm. And ultimately that fills the entire screen. And that's the piece. The originally it was actually put on the cover of Art Forum. Mm-hmm. And then Barbara Kruger decided to make that into a video piece. So it's interesting to see the transfer of a written work into a video piece.
Well, do you think what she wrote was critical of Art Forum or the you know, the statement thing?
Well, I think, I mean, there's a whole different lineage of what she's responding to, but it's more questioning. And I think she's very much questioning language and, in this case, contemporary art language. And some of the words they get used, and some of the words they get used without really penetrating specifically as to what they mean. Mm-hmm. And that's something that comes up throughout the show, because you see other instances where she is showing you the different opportunities of word usage. And it's very powerful to begin to understand that, you know, our language is subtle, and the shift of a word obviously change the meaning, and you sort of see that in real time.
In one of these pieces of rubric or, you know, red writing commentary is the screen is the mirror of choice, the crash site of narcissism and voyeurism. Why look at anything if it's not you or about you? Which seems kind of scathing, but then there seems to be this thing in the art world where if somebody important enough criticizes you, then it's okay and you can absorb it and everyone's happy in the end. Do you think any of that happened in this case, it ending up on the cover and then becoming a work of art?
I can't speak to that exactly. I think that it's just an opportunity to look more closely at some of these things that maybe we accept readily and take for granted.
I do love these videos. Well, you just talked about it. There are videos where there are redactions. So somebody's saying something and then all the bad stuff is kind of redacted. It totally changes the meaning. You know, it's like passive aggression. The aggression is deleted. That's a kind of live, it's like live writing. I do love how you stand there and it's like a ticker, you know, something's emerging in real time. And then there are pieces, there's this one, I think everyone should go see a large cat video, but it's just this big gray cat's face and it makes a funny little expression, you know, like it's been manipulated, and then words appear behind the cat's face.
You're talking about the piece called No Comment, which is the most recent work by Barbara Kruger in the exhibition. And it is a single channel video installation. And you're right, you sort of sit at a bench and you look at one wall, and it is, it's a video collage essentially, because she's bringing together images of hair braiding from TikTok, lots of cat images, news images, and then also text cut in between all of that. And then that title of like, No Comment, as if she's putting it all out there. This is how people are digesting the world we live in. Quick snips from TikTok to PBS, and it's all kind of mashed together.
Yeah. Did you get to spend much time with Barbara Kruger?
She lives in Los Angeles, and we did work together on the installation, planning it and then also installing it.
Constantly like thinking about violence and fascism and George Orwell. Does she have an otherwise sunny demeanor about her? What's she like?
You know, it's funny you asked that. What is she like? Because she doesn't really put herself out there biographically, and it is her intention to have the work speak more for itself than the idea of the artist making it. That isn't always the case in contemporary art. There are many artists who put themselves right there, right next to the artwork. They are as mm-hmm. prominent as the work. But in her case, I would say it is really the work is what is speaking rather than the artist.
I think because it's language, it's so easy to look for the eye in language. Like, who is the author? What are they like?
Yes.
And in her case, you're saying she tries to stay away from that. But it also suggests that, you know, after she's gone, like a kind of a ghostwriter could carry on her work.
There is a style, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think hers is a real genius to be able to make work for such a long period of time and to have it really have the power today that it did when she first started making it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Has she ever talked about a legacy? Like, does she train young artists to carry on?
She has just retired from teaching undergrad at UCLA, where she did teach for 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she has been a professor for many years.
Yeah. Great. Well, it was such an enjoyable afternoon in Los Angeles. I appreciate the work you did on it and also the artist's work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Rebecca Morse, curator in the Wallace Annenberg Photography Department at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, and co-curator of Barbara Kruger, Thinking of You, I Mean Me, I Mean You, which is on now through July 17th in Los Angeles. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for doing Art Focus by Zoom.
Thank you. Thank you, Joseph.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 12 de abril del 2022. En medio de la pandemia, el líder de Austria se reunió el lunes con